was a blessing. You know how you can be seated. We're not going to need any more instrumentalists tonight. Who has the special tonight? Was there a special tonight? I'm sorry. Okay, it's all taken care of. Right, I thought so. Okay, so we don't need you. God bless you. You can have a seat now. It was about a year ago that we decided to have a bus bonanza four times in the year 2008. We were in the planning sessions and probably end of November, 1st of December of 07, and looking at the year 08, putting some things together. And we've taken the fifth Sunday night of any fifth Sunday night this year and let the bus workers kind of have a time together under the direction and leadership of Brother Caleb over in the gymnasium or one of the rooms over there. What they've used, I'm not sure. I had this idea because of the bus meetings on Saturday morning. They are outstanding meetings. We have a good time. We laugh, we sing, we fellowship. Brother Caleb does a great job challenging our hearts, and especially the hearts of the bus workers, about reaching folks through this ministry. Yesterday, we had the bus meeting on our new bus, and we drove around town in that brand new bus that was just freshly painted. It's been inspected. Hasn't even been lettered yet, I don't think, has it? And we had the meeting right there on the bus. We played games on the bus, and our side won. Amen. I want to just throw that in, all right? So we had a good time, and it was a great meeting. And so we got this idea we ought to get, because some of the bus captains with their work schedules and drivers, they can't be at the meeting on Saturday. So let's give everybody, and really it's unbelievable how many folks are involved in the bus ministry at Faith Baptist Church in some fashion. And we decided this last fifth Sunday night of the year to have Bus Bonanza here in the auditorium and just enjoy it as a church together. So now throw away your starchiness. If you're starchy, you're not going to enjoy the next little bit. All right, so you got to throw away your starchiness. And if you don't even like the bus ministry, you better pretend that you do for the next little while, okay? And just enjoy yourself. We had a good time here on Tuesday night with some fun and different things in the Thanksgiving service. And we'll have a good time tonight, very special way. Brother Caleb's going to come and conduct this last bus bonanza of the year 2008.
All right. Thank you, preacher, for letting us do these bus bonanza. I have enjoyed the bus bonanza throughout the year, the last three. We get into some messy stuff, bus workers and bus captains, something like pudding all over each other's faces and all different kinds of good stuff like that. So if you are involved in the bus ministry, in either driving the bus or you visit on Saturday or some way you're involved in the bus ministry, if you could just stand so that everybody sees how many people are in the bus ministry. And in the balcony, yes, look around, several folks. I believe when we went over there to the gym, we had 75, 80 chairs set up, and it filled up all of those chairs. So I appreciate each one of you. You can go ahead and be seated. Now, what we usually like to do, yes, give me a big hand. What we usually like to do is find out which bus is most fired up. We have a lot of fired up bus routes, and obviously we're a little bit partial for some buses. I like bus one. I don't know about I don't know about you, but I like bus one, and there's some other folks that like other bus numbers, and they all kind of, bus one starts the list, and then they go all down from there. At least that's how I count, but how about, we're going to go the morning routes, and then we'll do the afternoon routes, okay? So if you ride, I'm going to go ahead with the bus captains. We just switched some buses around. Actually, Brother Montgomery, we'll keep you on bus 8, okay? And Sunbeam Bus, we'll just keep you on bus 2. We switched that today, but we'll keep it the old numbers, okay? All right, we'll start with the morning routes. Bus number 1. Hey, that's pretty good. We got some fired up people there. That's Brother Dan's route. And bus number 2. Amen. The Sunbeam Bus. Excellent. Those folks do a great job on that bus. And then bus number 3. Good, good. Brother Mike's bus. Bus number 4. Chris Heisel's bus. Excellent. Over in Moments. Bus number 5. Hola, ¿cómo está? The Spanish route. And bus number 6. Good, good, good. And then bus number 7. That crazy guy up there in the balcony. My goodness. Brother Jeff's route. Amen. Then bus number 8. Wadsika, St. Anne, Rome Park. Good job. Excellent. And then bus number 9. Oh, my goodness. I pulled into the parking lot yesterday afternoon, and they had the garland out. They've got their bus decorated. They got jingle bells on there, garland hanging from the ceiling. They got this thing that plugs into the power, and they got Christmas lights on the bus. It's just great. Bus number 9. And then let's go to the afternoon program. Let's go. Brother Horman's bus route. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, these afternoon bus routes have about 3 workers on them, so it takes a lot to get as loud as the morning routes. And let's go for Alan Coley's route. Excellent. Excellent. Praise the Lord. And my bus route in the afternoon. Amen. praise the Lord. Amen. So now you know it takes a lot of crazy people to make up the bus ministry. And I love Bus Bonanza because we get to just kind of come out of our shell and you get to be yourself. And all these bus captains, they do crazy stuff on their bus. You don't even want to ask them. Stand upside down, standing on their head and all that kind of stuff, singing. We're going to play a game here. We're going to divide the auditorium up. We've got this section right here. We're going to have this section compete against the rest of the auditorium. This section, and that section. 4 sections. And balcony, you can go ahead and be on this section, okay? You be on this section, this half of the balcony. This half of the balcony, you can be on that section, okay? Now, what I need is a volunteer from bus number 1. Brother Dan, come on up here. You can grab a seat right there. And then I need one of his helpers off of his bus route. Brother Donahoe, come on up here. Man, he's just waving at me and everything. Yes, right over here. Excellent. You can stand right beside him. And then I need a volunteer from bus number 7. Bus number 7. Yes, Brother Jeff, I see you up there. Come on down here. And then we need a volunteer to help him. Oh, yes, Brother Dan, come on, help him. And then I need a volunteer from bus number 8. Brother Montgomery, come on up here. Praise the Lord. And I need a helper. Jared, amen. Come right over here. And let's see. Let's have a volunteer from bus number 3 in the morning. Come on up here. And I need a helper. Tony, okay, good, good. Come right over there. Now, inside, there each person has a bag sitting beside them. Inside the bag, there are balloons, 3 balloons. You have to sit on the balloon. Inside the balloon, there's a little word in there. It is a Bible character. You have to act the Bible character out until your side guesses what character you're trying to act out. Then whichever side finishes first wins the contest. All right? Is this side ready over here? I think they're waking up. Is this side ready over here? Good, good. Is this side ready over here? Yeah, love it. Praise the Lord. Is this side ready over here? Amen. All right. Are the fellas ready? You have to. The person sitting on the seat has to act out the person or the character in that balloon. Now, the person that's standing beside the seat, you're there to see where the piece of paper flies. Okay? Sometimes you sit on the piece of paper and it may fly on the stage. All right, you come get it and go ahead, give it to them. And then the person that's standing beside the chair is listening for the crowd to say the character that is mentioned in the balloon. Okay, so they're going to be your ears. They're going to be your eyes. All right, here we go. Other people, it's going to be all three balloons. And you have one extra balloon there. Don't pop the 4th one. Just go ahead and stick it underneath the seat. That's good. All right. Is Brother Dan ready?
Yes, sir.
Brother Jeff ready? All right. Brother Montgomery ready? Brother Mike ready? All right. Here we go. Cheer for your people. On your mark. Get set. Go. Oh, yeah. This side got a point. Good. And going on the 2nd balloon. Go ahead. Yeah, no, no, no. Read them. Do them. One at a time. You got them all? Oh, and this side wins! You had them all. You had all four. All three. All three. All three. Okay, this side had all three. All three. And you have two left. You have zero left. All right, one left. All right, this side wins the contest. Give him a great big hand. Good job. Good job. All right. My goodness, that's some tight competition. Can you tell the bus captains are competitive? You should see them in bus meeting. My goodness, it's vicious. Oh, praise the Lord. I love it. That's excellent. Well, we have a very special gift we want to give out tonight. We have been announcing it in bus meeting several weeks in a row. And it's called the Clean Bus Award. These bus captains have been, I'm telling you, they've been cleaning up and making sure the bus looks good, except most everybody has. We have the Clean Bus Award, and then we also have the Maggot Award. And we're going to get both of those out this evening. So, and I did not do the judging. Brother Lewis did the judging. he told me this morning which one won the Clean Bus Award. So I'm going to go ahead and announce. Now, it was very tight, wasn't it, Brother Lewis? It took him 13 weeks to decide which bus was the cleanest. He was on those buses 13 weeks, and since the last bus bonanza, judging who had the fewest crumbs on their bus, the fewest wrapping candy wrappers and all that kind of stuff, and it was very, very tight. But we have a winner, and the winner goes to bus number four. Bus number four. Let's give him a great big hand. I'm going to have Brother Kelson, if you could come up for Chris. Brother Chris is sick. And so, Brother Kelson, if you could just give this to him. He does a great job. He took the bus route over, yes, sir. He took the bus route over about 3 months ago, and it's a blessing to talk to him and his desire to see that bus just grow, and thank the Lord for that. Now we have the Maggot Award. And this is an exciting time to find out which bus was the dirtiest. And I would have to say, bus number six was the dirtiest bus. My goodness sake. How about that? So we need somebody off of bus six to come on down here. Nobody's jumping at the gun, huh? Should we have the bus driver come on down here? Should we have the bus driver? Come on down here, Brother Payne. Now, I got something special. This prize I had to hide because it was, I know it'd be stolen if anybody saw it. So let me get it. He's coming down. Amen. The Maggot Award. That's what the brooms look like after they get done cleaning. Amen. So this is... This is horrible. Brother Payne, you never even have to clean the bus or sweep the bus out. And here he's getting the prize. So you might want to pass that on to your bus captain there. Have your workers sweep with it. Amen. Let's give him a good big hand. I must say that even the Maggot Award, it was pretty clean on that bus. It was difficult to find out which one was the dirtiest. We have some great bus captains in our bus ministry. I'm talking about some top-notch bus captains, some bus captains that love the Lord, love their kids, and are dedicated to the job that they have been given. And it's just a privilege to see these bus captains bringing in the kids and having a love for them. About 5 months ago, I was able to talk to a man about taking over a bus route, actually splitting the Bourbonnais route and taking over the East Bourbonnais and Manteno, and they took that route. He took that route over, has done a fabulous job. I'm going to have him come up here, and he's going to just share a few blessings about being in the bus ministry. It's a great privilege, and these men and these women that work in the bus ministry, they're the cause for all these kids coming. We can have bus meeting and we can do different things, but it's really the people you saw stand up, that's who does all the work. And so, Rex, it's a huge privilege to have you as a bus captain in at Faith Baptist Church, and this man's done a fabulous job, and I'm going to let him tell you a few blessings that he has.
Sorry, I'm a baby bus captain. I would like to first thank Brother Caleb, the preacher, for supporting and the prayers and the encouragement that they've given me. Talking is not one of my strongest point, but when I'm in the bus, it just comes natural.
Amen.
If it's okay with Pat Pastor, I would like for everyone to join me in a bus song.
Sure.
It's pretty easy. You say what I say.
You say what I say.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
You say what I say.
You say what I say.
Oh, soldier.
Oh, soldier.
Where have you been?
Where have you been?
I've been to Faith Baptist Church.
I've been to Faith Baptist Church.
Where I learn about Jesus.
Where I learn about Jesus.
Read my Bible, learned to pray.
Read my Bible.
Now I do that every day.
Now I do that every day.
Oh, soldier.
Oh, soldier.
Where have you been?
Where have you been?
I've been to Calvary.
I've been to Calvary.
Where my Savior died for me.
Where my Savior died for me.
Took my sin upon his chest.
Took my sin upon his chest.
Now I have eternal rest.
Now I have eternal rest.
Thank you, everyone. Many things have transpired over the last 5 months. Memorizing every event has been a great challenge to me. Not only do I have to remember the kids' names, they expect me to remember what they told me last week. I have a hard time finding my keys sometimes. Each of our kids have a story to tell. Now I would like to share a couple of their stories with you. We have a little boy from Mantino. Christian is his name. He likes to tell riddles. So my wife asked him, "What is red but makes you white?" He thought about it for a minute and he said, "Jesus." So she asked him why. And he said, "Because Jesus went to the cross and died for me.
Amen.
So now I'm white and I can go to heaven."
Amen.
We also have a little girl from Mantino, Cassidy. She first came to Vacation Bible School. Her mom told her she probably wouldn't be coming on Sunday. But now her mom said she cries if she can't come. She even has her cousins ride Brother Don's bus. Her faithfulness earned her the job of hand marker. She even brings her own markers. We have a little girl named Daria who rode the bus a couple of years ago, but she was never faithful. Since we've started our route, she's never missed a Sunday. There was once she even refused to spend the night at her grandma's house with her sisters because she knew she would miss the bus on Sunday. And I'd like to finish off by thanking God for everything he's done for me and my family.
Amen.
And all of my workers in the bus. If it wasn't for them or God, there wouldn't be any story to tell. Thank you, everyone.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that a blessing? Hear the different testimonies of the kids, and that's what it's all about. Those little kids think a lot about riding the bus and going to church. I must say this past fall has been a fabulous fall for the bus ministry. We've just seen some incredible kids come to church and some incredible numbers and averages on the bus routes. And I just want to share a few of the reports from this past 13 weeks. And so as I do that, if I could have a couple of fellas go ahead and pick up those chairs up and the balloons and the bags there, that would be great. For the average over the last quarter or last 13 weeks, we've had an average of 426 riders on the bus. Isn't that a blessing? 426. I know we usually don't talk a whole lot about the averages and things like that, but that's a blessing. That's because we have bus workers out there knocking on the doors and bus captains bringing the kids in. We also had, in those 13 weeks, 190 visitors come to church. 190 visitors. That's incredible. That's bringing the lost to church, and that's where a lot of our salvations come from, are those visitors. And out of that 190, we had one bus. He brought in the most on his bus, Alan Coley. He brought in 29 visitors on his bus. Isn't that neat? Give him a great big hand. That's great. That's great. Then we have the bus that has increased the most since the beginning of the year to this past quarter. And that bus started averaging in the beginning of the year 25 and now is averaging 46. 21 person increase every Sunday. Just doing a fabulous job. That's Brother Horman in the afternoon. He's doing a great job on his bus route. We have the bus ministry in the last 13 weeks has given 5,532 riders a safe or a ride to church and has given them warm buses when it's cold. Clean buses, and that's a blessing that many kids come to church. And so we have some of those very special kids that ride the buses that are here tonight. And they're going to have a special thing for you. They've been practicing for the last 6 weeks on a song. And they're going to, if you want to come forward, if you want to go ahead. And Miss Faith Capps has been working with them over in the junior church, right after junior church is done. They work on these songs and have been doing it for past 6 weeks. And I'm so thrilled that they came to fifth and sixth graders. All these kids are fifth and sixth graders. They've been coming faithful. And it's a huge privilege to have them in our service. So they have something special they want to sing to you. I don't do the man. said bless your ticker. My goodness, that was good. These kids are precious that come on the Sunday school buses. I was riding Brother Dan's route this morning, and little girl was looking out the window. I asked her, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about Christmas? You see the snow outside. It's right around, Christmas is right around the corner. She said, no, I'm actually thinking about my dad that died a couple of weeks ago. And you talk about some different response. I wasn't expecting that response. She said, I know, though, if he asked Jesus to come to his heart, he's in heaven. I said, that's exactly right. He's in heaven if he asks Jesus Christ to save him. We have another bus captain that has been faithfully going out and visiting every Saturday and picking up boys and girls. And Brother Johnson has been doing it for 19 years. That's a long time, folks. 19 years picking up boys and girls. And I'm sure every time he got off the bus, he just felt, shoo, that was great. Amen. Brother Mike, I've asked him to come and give a testimony. And he has a few things that he just wants to share that is on his heart. He has a couple of people that he wants to talk about. Brother Mike, go ahead and share what's on your heart.
Well, one of the joys that I have enjoyed the last 20 years has been being a bus captain. I mean, it has been nothing but a privilege and an honor, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And it was being a new Christian 20 years ago. I mean, it was the first opportunity that I had to do something in the ministry. And for those of you out there who maybe only been saved just for a little bit of time, maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, maybe a year, just jump right in. It doesn't take anything special. I mean, I don't have any skills. I don't have anything. I'm nothing. I don't have any special talents. I'm more introverted. You know, I don't even do the bus program. I always had my teenagers do it. I always enjoyed running doors. I did that for 20 years. I still do it. I just think that when the child comes out the door, then they need to get a greeting of some kind to say, hey, I'm glad to see you. You just don't know, you know, how much turmoil they've experienced the last week, the last day. And for you to just put your hand out and say, boy, it's good to see you. You have no idea what that might do to them. And it's just been an honor and a privilege for me over the last several years to do that. You know, probably the greatest blessing has been just the people, just the kids. That's all it is, if you can be a blessing and a help. And the thing about it is they become more of a blessing to you than you are to them. In football, there's what they call the trenches, you know, where actually the line of scrimmage, for those of you who know football. The bus ministry, the trenches is where the battle is won. And I think that the bus ministry would equate to that quite well. I think that's the trenches in the churches today. That's where the battle lines are drawn. And you know, just come visiting with us sometime on Saturday, you'll see it. You go into these homes, you see that. I was talking with Tom Fitzgerald today in my Sunday school class, and I asked him, you know, how many families that you visit are traditional families, where they have a mom and they have a dad and they have brothers and sisters all together under the same roof. And he could not think of one. And that's not unusual. I'm not saying it's always the case. I'm just saying that the majority of the time, that's the case. Those are the types of the families that we're reaching is broken homes in many cases. And not all, not every case, but I'm saying in many cases. And that's why I call it the trenches. You're at the devil's doorstep many times. I can remember years ago, I just share one experience with you. This was several years ago, probably in the early 90s. I started the bus ministry in about 1989, 1990. This was early 90s. I was out visiting with my brother-in-law. We were out. He was visiting from out of town, and we were knocking a few doors. I was visiting the bus route, and there was a teenage girl that we were trying to witness to. And then all of a sudden, from out of the apartment, probably two stories higher than we were at on a balcony, was this brother, I guess, or a relative of some kind, had the black shirt on, had the pentagram all over it. I mean, just cussing, trying to interrupt what we were trying to do. It was so obvious to me that Satan was at work there, trying to discourage or trying to distract us from what we were doing, trying to witness to that girl. But she wouldn't sway from what we were talking about. And she did get saved at that time.
Amen.
I mean, he broke a bottle over the ledge. I'm gonna come down here and I'm gonna, I'm gonna cut you with this. I mean, that's literally. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that that's one isolated case out of so many blessings. But I'm saying that's the kind of thing that you battle week in and week out with these families. You're literally fighting tooth and nail for their souls,
right,
and trying to give them an opportunity to come to Christ.
Right.
I say the people, the bus workers. I mean, Brother Ray has been my bus driver for years. Brother Ira, he drove the bus for me for years when I was in Kankakee, captaining there. I always got a kick out of the fact when we rode the Kankakee routes. I had Ben was my worker. I had Jody. She was a bus. Remember that, Jody? She was a bus driver. I always got a kick out of the fact that she was the only white girl on the entire bus. Hey, Brother Bibbs, only white girl on the bus. You know, me and Brother Ben would joke sometimes. We would just leave the bus one time, just leave her to the program and let her run it herself. Hey, Brother Tony. But it was just a blessing. And I had Rachel Allen, formerly Rachel Griffin, as one of my first bus workers back then, and we used to get a kick out of her. We'd always sit her by the kid that was sick. She couldn't. Is Rachel here? No, she's not. So I can make fun of her. But she could not handle anything that any messes like that or any kid that was sick or anything like that. So we've always made sure she sat right next to the one that was sick. And so that was a blessing. But it's always fun seeing what hairdo Ben would come on the bus with. Now he had three or four of them throughout his bus ministry. You know. it was just a blessing. But anyway, just to get done here, you can't measure, the impact of the bus ministry in days. You can't measure it in weeks. You can't measure it in months. You can't measure it even in years, sometimes decades.
Right.
There are still people in this church today that were reached originally in the bus ministry.
Amen.
You just can't. And if you're going to stick with it, you have to realize that. You have to realize that it's for the long haul. You got to realize it's going to take years. You got to realize that it's going to be just a few, many times. I was talking to the Sunday school class today that, day of Pentecost, there were 5,000 people that got saved, but there was only 120 at in the upper room.
Right.
Where were the other 4,880? Where were they at that time? So there's always going to be just a few that make it. You can't get discouraged by the fact that maybe the majority don't. And you got to realize that it's just, If you can influence one life, if you can be involved with the salvation of one soul, it's worth a lifetime of service in the bus ministry.
Good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good.
Amen. Brother Johnson is a blessing. I think he's got a couple of his bus kids sitting right down here. Amen. And that's a blessing. We have been running buses. Faith Baptist Church has been running buses for 39 years. That's a long time in a community. Very seldom does a week go by that I do not knock on somebody's door and somebody says, I used to ride that Sunday school bus. Or many people will tell me that throughout a year or throughout a week's visitation. And out of those 39 years of running buses, we've had one person that has been just faithful to the bus ministry. 36 years of not just the bus ministry, but the maintenance of the buses and the sweeping the buses out and taking care of making sure the buses are started on Sunday morning. And shortly after I became bus captain or bus director, I met this man and he was faithfully going out there on Sundays. And I remember one time we had a flat tire Sunday morning and it was about time for that bus to take off. And we had a flat tire and this man came and he helped change that flat tire and scraping windows, scraping icy windows in the wintertime. And when it's cold, 6:45 in the morning, there's a man out there on your Sunday school bus. If you work in the bus ministry, there's a man out there that is shivering and that is cold, sitting on those cold bus driver seats. If you've never sat on one of those bus driver seats, they get cold. And he sits on those and he starts them up. If they don't start, he'll open up the hood, squirt the ether in. He's been doing that for 36 years, and that's Brother Lewis.
Amen.
And Brother Lewis, I'd like If you could, you and your wife, if you could both come on down here and just sit in this front row, and we can, we'll make, we have a place for you here. If you could just come on down here. And Brother Lewis is a huge blessing. He will never know the impact that he has had in this Kankakee County and in the Kankakee area. All the boys and girls that have come weeks after weeks on a clean bus and on a bus that actually runs and is maintained well. Brother Lewis, we just have put something together that we want to show you. I had to, it was difficult getting some shots of Brother Lewis, and we told him we were doing some documenting of our maintenance and documenting of our bus cleaning, and that we did, but also we put something together. So, Brother Lewis, we just wanted to show you this.
Jack Lewis 26 years ago in 1982 when I got saved. One day I was driving by the church on a Saturday and I saw Jack working on the buses, so I thought I'd stop and talk to him. Being a mechanic, I was curious about who did the maintenance on the buses and the different things about the buses. So I stopped and talked to Jack, and he was working on one of our old GMC buses built in the 60s. He was kneeling on the bumper with his arms over the radiator working on the front of the engine. I noticed that Jack had no fingers on his right hand. And I was curious about how he could work, being a right-handed man, could work on these buses all by himself with no fingers. As I watched him, I was amazed at the skill that he had with just a thumb and the things that he could do. It was amazing. As he stepped out off the bumper and got some tools and kneeled back up on the bumper, I also noticed that he was missing a leg and he had an artificial limp, which amazed me even more because I had watched him and I'd never seen him limp. And I watched him as he kneeled on that bus bumper and worked on that bus. And I talked to him for maybe an hour and a half. And I was just amazed at what Jack was doing by himself with these buses. And he's been doing this for years and years and years. Jack is an unusual man. He's gone through some adverse situations and some hardships in his life, but he never gave up. He's been very faithful and very dedicated to the bus ministry here at Faith Baptist Church. He's worked on these buses in the heat of the summer, in the cold of the winter, extreme temperatures. I remember, Jack, one weekend I drove by the buses where he was working on them, and he had a tarp around the bottom of the bus. He had a torpedo heater blowing it underneath the bus, and it had to be probably January, temperatures below 20 degrees. And he was changing a clutch on an old bus. He had dropped the transmission out with a come along, and he'd been working on that bus, changing the clutch by himself. And I talked to him for a few minutes, and I let him get back to his work. That's one of the instances of Jack working on the buses. I've seen him lay in the snow. I've seen him working in the rain. He comes here every Sunday morning and starts these buses up, and sometimes that's a challenge in the wintertime when the temperature was below 20 degrees with these diesel buses. He'll sweep the snow off the hoods and scrape the ice off the windshields before the bus captains and drivers get here so they have a warm bus to get into that's ready to go. He's been doing that for years and years and years. I remember one time we were working on the buses, and the receptor preacher came, and we had some buses go down. They wouldn't pass inspection. And we had this old bus. It had been sitting for two or three years, and we've been scavenging parts off of it. And Jack says, you know what, these buses not being able to pass inspection, I think I'll get that old bus running. I said, Jack, we stole all kinds of parts off that thing. It don't have no headlights, an alternator, power steering pump was gone. We took all the tires off of it and put old junk tires on it. He said, well, I want to try. So Jack tinkered on that bus for weeks and weeks. He got it running. He put all the parts that we had stolen off of it back on it. He found some other parts. He put tires on it. And he resurrected that bus. We took it down. We got it inspected. And that thing ran for years after Jack got it back on the road, bringing boys and girls and teenagers and adults to church. Over the years, if you think about the last 36 years, how many people have rode on these buses? How many hundreds and thousands of people have come to Faith Baptist Church and heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved? Because of Jack Lewis, because of his dedication, because of his faithfulness. You think about it. There's people in our church today, boys and girls, moms and dads, that have been saved in the past several years that are not only on their way to heaven, but they're serving in the bus ministry. A bunch of them. It's an amazing thing. I look forward to a couple things in heaven. I look forward to a lot of things in heaven. But one of the things I look forward to in heaven is walking up to Jack Lewis on the streets of gold and shaking his hand and feeling his fingers wrap around my hand for the first time. And another thing that's going to be a tremendous blessing in heaven is watching all the people that rode the buses to Faith Baptist Church come up to Jack Lewis and thank him for his part in their salvation. It's also very close to me. The salvation of one young person is very close to me because my wife was saved riding the buses to Faith Baptist Church. And that's a tremendous blessing to me. It is partly because of the ministry of Jack Lewis here at Faith Baptist Church.
Only heaven will tell us how many kids have been influenced and how many adults' lives have been influenced by Brother Lewis. But Brother Lewis, we just want to let you know that we love you.
Amen.
So many lives have been changed from your dedication and your faithfulness. I just want to mention a few of the names of the people. And when I call your name, if you could just come to the platform, we want to show you how many people have been reached through the bus ministry while you've been working on them. Either a mom or a dad was reached from one of these families, or maybe a child was reached and the child brought the parent to church. But some way, somehow, they were reached through the bus ministry. First of all, I'd like to have the Brits come up. The Brits could come up. Larry Johnson, if you could come up. Dela Cruz family, if you could come up. Garcia family, if you could come up. Brother Horman, you could come up, your family. Jay Johnson, if you could come up. Glenda Payne. Matt Prather. George Poe.
Come on, come on.
Do you leave his family? Wayne Davies and his daughter. And your sister Joanne. Brother Lewis, this is just a few of the people. You can come, keep on coming on over. This is just a few of the people that you have helped reach in this community and in this area. We still have people coming up. If I didn't call you out and you were reached through the bus ministry, just come on up. What a blessing, huh?
Amen.
See all the lives and all the people that have been reached and lives that have been changed. Brother Lewis, I know that they did not know that you started their bus. I know they did not know that you put the alternator on or the exhaust or the transmission on the bus that they came to church in, but from the bottom of their heart, I know they would say thank you to you, and they love you. We just want to give you a special presentation this evening. Preacher's going to present that to you.
Well, Jack, you want to come on up just a minute? Can you do that? This was the right thing to do tonight. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know who's slowing down a little bit? Brother Jack's slowing down a little bit. Now, his slowing down still got more get up and go than a lot of our get up and go does. But he's not as young as he used to be. No, sir. But makes his way over here every Sunday, every Saturday. Behind the scenes, I call him the ghost. Something gets broken, he shows up, fix it, leaves, nobody knows. Somebody shows up and it's all fixed. Brother Jack, we can't thank you enough for what you've meant to Faith Baptist Church. Can't thank you enough for what you've meant and to the people in this area. James Carr and I were visiting about, I don't know, a couple months ago, Brother Jim. We talked to five families on one Tuesday night. Four of those families had been to Faith Baptist Church on the buses. 80% of the people we visited said we rode the bus to church there. That story is told all over this area. And this man has been so involved in making sure that everything runs well and is mechanically sound. Brother Jack, we don't have a great big old mechanic maintenance shed like we wish we had, but we do have a garage. And it's about the best we got to working on buses now. We can put the front of a bus in there. And tonight we are dedicating and naming that building the Jack Lewis Garage. And we will put this sign. Yes, sir. Hang on. And we will have this sign mounted right beside the walk-in door there. As you go in, it'll stay there for as long as Jack is here. And even after the Lord takes him to heaven, it'll be the Jack Lewis Garage. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jack. God bless you. Brother Caleb, so you stay right here just for a minute. Brother Caleb's going to come.
I know that Brother Lewis has been coming to the church every Saturday morning. As he comes to church, he also leaves a wife behind. And she has been willing to let him go every Saturday and Sunday morning. And Mrs. Lewis, you have been a great testimony as well. And of course, you are the strength behind Brother Lewis and just the support. And we appreciate you. If you could just come up here and join your husband, we just have a small gift that we'd like to give you. We'd just like to give you a little bouquet of flowers. Maybe we could make up just a little bit of that time that was spent in separation by letting you all go to Baker Square and go out to eat. We want to give you a gift card to Baker Square and let you have a meal together. And we love you all. You all meant so much to us.
Amen.
Let's give them a great big hand. You all mean so much. Thank you for your service. Okay. Y'all can. I appreciate y'all coming up. There's a lot of folks, huh? A lot of folks. Takes 39 years. But God says that He will bring in the increase. And that's a blessing. My heart's just blessed. We have another special that we want to present this evening, and that is, it's going to be a real special thing. The bus captains are going to sing for you. So, bus captains, if you'll just go ahead and make your way. Now, there's not a requirement in a bus captain or being a bus captain to have a voice that can sing beautiful notes, but we sing. We can lead some kids, and so we're gonna go ahead and sing out. We're going to make a joyful noise for you this evening. All right.
I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's in sick, make it white as the snow. But I know a man who can. Oh, some call Him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call Him Jesus, for He's my dearest friend.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, that's exciting. And when you look at two of the fellows who were reached by the bus minister and now are bus captains themselves, that's reproducing itself. Amen. And thank you, gentlemen. I enjoyed that. Let me just say this. We've had a lot of wonderful men through the years that I've been here who've worked as the director of our bus ministry. But I think we can safely say, I'm not sure any of them have had the impact Brother Caleb Hansen's had in our bus ministry. Done a tremendous job just organizing, and more than that, just the person, the people part of it, and the staffing, and then the burden and the motivation and the blessing. It's been wonderful, and I sure appreciate all that he's meant to our bus ministry. I know the hour is now just a few minutes away from when we're usually done. I want you to open your Bible to Luke 14. I got about a 10-minute message for you this evening, and we'll get out on time. This has been good. I've enjoyed it. It's been a blessing. I've enjoyed every part of it. And God bless you for all of you who help in the bus ministry. And I want to just talk about that for just a moment tonight. Luke chapter 14, and look at verse number 12. Then said he also to him that bade him. So Jesus is speaking now. When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. I want to speak to you for just a moment here on keep the blessing coming. Keep the blessing coming. Verse number 14, the first phrase, and thou shalt be blessed. Now, when I read that statement, it sparks a flame of curiosity in my heart. Because if there's blessing to be had, I want to know how to get it, what is necessary for it, who can have it, so forth. And Jesus said very plainly, thou shalt be blessed. Now, the blessing is determined by our willingness to humble ourselves. That's really the whole teaching in this passage. The story about the feast and those who would be invited to be a part of the feast is tied to what has happened in the previous verses in chapter 14. Now, in verse number 1, it gives us the setting for these verses. Look at it. And it came to pass as he, Jesus, went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. So Jesus is in the house of one of the chief Pharisees. Now, many of the Pharisees' friends and acquaintances and close relatives were invited to take part in the feast. There was also a man with a disease there, and Jesus healed that man. And then Jesus began to teach a lesson to those who were at the feast by way of parable. You see it in verse number 7. And it gives the reason here in verse number 7 why he gave this parable. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked, watch this, how they chose out the chief rooms. So here's at this feast, and he's noticing that the rush is on, the pressure is on to find the best seat in the house. Where's the room that has the most preeminence? Where's the room for those that are in the highest social status? That's where I want to sit. This was a feast with many social implications, and the people invited were all of a socialite mentality. The Pharisees had invited friends, as I said, relatives, immediate and distant relatives, family members, rich neighbors, and the hunt was on for the elite seats at the feast. A who's who of people in this day. And it was important that they be seen with the right group so that they could say, I talked to so-and-so. Well, I sat with so-and-so. Well, I ate with so-and-so. And another thing about this, all the invitations were given with a little bit of a selfish motive in mind. I will invite them because they will invite me to their party. So I'm going to invite them because I know when they throw a feast, they're going to invite me. So there was a little thing going on like that. It was all built around social pride. It was all built around an elite mentality, an establishment of a pecking order, if you will. And can I say this tonight? It was all very repulsive to Jesus Christ. He couldn't stomach it. And the reason it was repulsive to him is because of what he represented. What he represented was open and available to all people of all walks of life, of all status, because Jesus represented a whosoever will gospel. Not a come if you're somebody. Not a come if you have money. So this is what he said. Look at verse number 12. He told this parable to these people. He said, look, he said, when you go to a feast, don't look for the chief rooms. He said, find the lowest place and sit there. It's better for you to have somebody come along and say, hey, come up here, rather than have somebody say to you, man, you're in the wrong seat. You need to go to another room. Then somebody invited him to this feast. Look at verse number 12. Then said he also to him that bade him. He said, now to the person that invited him to come, he turned to him. And he said, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Now, did Jesus mean that the only people that could be invited to this feast were those that were mentally handicapped or physically handicapped? No, he didn't mean that at all. It's not what he meant. But let me tell you the whole crux of this thing, what Jesus told this man. Jesus told, that's it, don't invite folks who can help you. Instead, invite folks you can help. That's what he told him. He said, when you throw a feast, you don't be concerned about who can pay you back. Don't be concerned about how it helps you. You be concerned about what they need. And can you help them? I'm going to tell you something, folks. In the mentality of some churches, a certain person helps them. Certain types of people create a better social standing for the church in the community. Because, hey, he goes to that church. Or she goes to that church. And the whole thing is built around these people can help us. That's the kind of mentality that Jesus said to avoid. Do not be worried about social status. Do not be worried about how much people can help you. You find people who need help and you invite them to come with no thought about whether or not they can in return help you. And for 39 years, that's been the mentality of the Faith Baptist Church. Go out and find who needs help. And it doesn't matter if their presence builds your social status or not. If they need help, you bring them in. That's been the mentality. And I'm going to say something. God's blessing is far more important than man's approval. God putting His commendation on a church is far more important than a mayor or a city council or some group of people. I'm not opposed to that, friend. But so many churches have the mentality of trying to get people in because it increases their social standing in the community. It's who can help us. Oh, he can help us if he comes. And she can help us if she comes because of who she is and because of the position they hold. And that's what Jesus said to avoid. He said, you go out and forget what position, what they're doing. If they're in need of help, you invite them to come no matter what. You bring them in. Man's approval cannot finance a ministry. But God's blessing can. God's blessing can finance a ministry. Man's approval cannot bring a spirit of liberty to a church. But God's blessing can bring that spirit. And I want to say to those of you who've worked in the bus ministry and served in the past, and to those, if you, maybe you had to get out for whatever reason, but you served for some time, and to those of you who are serving now, let me say to you a great big thank you. I don't know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be determined by God and God only. The real impetus that caused His blessing to be on this church for these 39 years, and it may surprise us. It may have nothing to do with the man standing behind the pulpit bringing the messages. It may have nothing to do with the person that we think is the Mr. Faith Baptist Church or the Mrs. Faith Baptist Church. It may have more to do with those mentally handicapped people that Dan Hendrickson, Wendy, and Harold Horman, and all those folks, and Ellen and Johnny work with on Sunday morning. It may be those mentally handicapped people that were the impetus for the blessing of Faith Baptist Church more than any of us sane folks. That's the truth. We have no idea. To keep this ministry going, to keep this means of God's blessing, it takes a crew of laborers and workers to staff this bus ministry. You saw tonight a great host of people stand up, but I'm going to tell you something. We still don't have enough help. We could use more help. We need drivers. We need drivers. If there's a crucial need in our bus ministry now, it's men with CDL who can drive a church bus. I want to tell you something, friend. You fellas, you think about that. You talk about investing your time and your abilities just sitting in the wheel, in the seat of a bus, turning a wheel and taking that bus out, picking up kids and adults and teenagers and bringing them into a church service and letting them hear about Jesus and investing in that kind of way for driving a bus. What a great opportunity. And I feel for Brother Caleb, if we have a driver or two go down with a cold or is sick or is out of town on a trip for the holidays, boy, it's just tough. It's incredibly tough. And if you're a driving age and you could get a CDL or you have one, you ought to really pray about that. Think about the opportunity to invest in the bus ministry as a bus driver, workers, especially helpers in the afternoon ministry. Really, our buses are understaffed in the afternoon. They really are. And it's just, I know it's time, folks. I mean, I know it's energy, it's effort, it's time. But listen, you know, the blessings and benefits of any endeavor are always tied to the amount of work invested in the matter. And things that don't take much work don't reap much blessing. But things that take a vast amount of work and labor reap a lot of blessing. The reaping is corresponding to the sowing. And the bus ministry takes a lot of works. And because it does take a lot of work, the potential for blessing is great. And I would say, I hope and pray that as long as we financially can as a church, as long as we financially can, keep these buses going out up and down these roads to these communities and these folks knocking on doors and bringing in these people with no thought of, does their presence help us or hurt us? Does their presence increase our social standing? That's not the issue. The issue is, do you need help? If you need help spiritually and you want to hear about Jesus, who is the answer to all your problems, jump on this bus and ride to church. We'll be glad to teach you about the Lord Jesus Christ. May God always make it that way. And some really ought to consider the opportunity to invest in an outreach that may be more responsible for the blessing of God on this place. I don't know how you look at it. I don't know how you look at some of you, all you see is gas money and insurance money and repair money. And you think, I'll tell you, dirty walls. And rooms that need to be cleaned up because they get scuffed up. Maybe that's all you see. But, brother, I see far more than that. I see far more than that. I see opportunity to influence a soul for eternity. And I see, just maybe, the reason that God's blessing stays on this church. Just maybe. Because Jesus said, you go out and you just find who needs help. If they need help, you invite them, no matter what their status is in the community. And thou shalt be blessed. That's his promise. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for giving us your attention tonight and being a part of this service. My dear Father, I pray that you'll please, Lord, we understand and know that all blessings come from you. And I thank you so much for your good blessings on this church. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless us to be faithful. Thank you, God, for the great host of people who stood a little while ago. Lord, I know the bus ministry is not for everybody. But maybe there is someone sitting out there tonight who could drive a bus. Maybe there's somebody who could be a worker, helper, give up a little time, invest their heart and soul into somebody who needs help. God, thank you for the host of folks that were on this platform tonight, reached in some way or another by the bus ministry. God, what rejoicing is in our hearts because of them. And, of course, the many who've been saved, Lord, gone to other churches, or maybe not in churches this evening, but their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the Faith Baptist Church bus ministry. God, bless us to go forward, to do your will, to serve you. And, God, we just look for you to honor your word. And as we go out and find who needs help and invite them to come, will you please keep your blessing on us? And for that, we're very grateful. In Christ's name, I ask you. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart tonight some way or another as the ladies play a song of invitation. Maybe you just want to come and thank him tonight for God's goodness. Maybe there's a way you can be involved. See Brother Caleb. Brother Caleb, I can get a CDL. I can drive a bus. I can be a backup driver. I can't drive every Sunday, but I can do something.